This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammad wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Fa ba'du. I'm now walking through another part of Ashiya's Wire, which is a little walk through part of the forest. This isn't by no means any rainforest or anything like that, but this is just lots of trees and with all kinds of vines going up them. The most interesting thing about this is how all this stuff will change color in fall, in autumn, and become an absolute riot of colors. And that's subhanAllah. We come to the third part of the things we were talking about, the four-part role that was given to Muhammad Rasulullah يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Allah said, recite for them my revelation, purify them, and then teach them the book, the third one, teach them the book. Now this is very, very important, that this is the essence of the sunnah of Rasulullah, this one and the next, which is wal hikmah. Now the teaching is very interesting. It's something that should really raise a question in the minds of people, especially those who say that the sunnah is not important, who reject the sunnah, who say we don't need na'udhu billah, ya'udhu billah, hasha lillah. They say we don't need the Rasul. They say the Rasul was a messenger, so therefore he was like a postman. He brought a letter and gave it away, and gave it to the one to whom the letter was written. So, of course, this is not just, first of all, it is kufr. Anyone who actually believes that has left Islam. Let me be very clear about this. Anyone who believes that and says that has left Islam is no longer a Muslim. But apart from that, the issue is a huge difference, even linguistically, between a Rasul as a Rasul of Allah and just somebody who is a messenger. A postman does not know what is in the letter which has been written. He does not know the message, number one. Number two, the postman's job is just to drop the letter in the letterbox and walk away. Now, these are two completely different things from the role of the Rasul. Because, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the reason why we have to go to the Quran to understand who the Rasul is, alayhi salam. And this is what never ceases to amaze me, the level of ignorance of those who say the Quran is enough for us. And I say to them, absolutely correct. The Quran is enough for us. And the Quran is what tells us the position and the importance of the Rasul. It is the Quran. Where do we get this from? We're not looking at poetry. We're not looking at anashid and people singing nasheeds about the beauty of the Rasul and so on and so forth. We are not even looking at, for example, Shama'il Tirmidhi. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless these scholars who express their beautiful love for Rasulullah by describing, by collecting all the ahadith which described his beauty and his akhlaq. Literally, the detail of description of the person of the Prophet, what did his head look like, what did his beard look like, how many gray hair were in his beard and his head, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To that extent, what were the bottoms of his feet, the sole of his feet, what were they like? You know, I sometimes say this as a challenge to people and say that, name for me the person you love the most. And you might say it's my husband, my wife. Usually you don't get husband, but anyway. And then their parents, my father, my mother, my children. And I say to them, even if you are a mother who has a little baby So obviously your whole life is in that. And if I tell you, just like that, randomly, describe the souls of your baby. And believe me, you can't do that. You will never be able to do that adequately. You might make some general statements, you know, oh, they're so soft and so lovely and blah, blah. I'm saying specific reference to the souls. We have that about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So which means that there was these Sahaba, there were these wonderful, wonderful people who loved the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much that they recorded, and this is Abdullah ibn Abbas of the Lanhu's narration, who recorded what the soles of his feet looked like. And you might say, well, you know, how did he get that? He wasn't obviously going to say, "Ya Rasulullah, can I please see the sole of your feet because I want to write about it." No, he is talking about seeing the soles of the feet of the son when he was praying, and usually that was in tahajjud. So, you know, this shows the love of the Sahaba. Anyway, so the point I'm making here is that Allah says, Yatru alayhi ma'ayati. Allah says, teach them the book. So the difference between the Rasul and any ordinary mortal messenger is that the messenger is not really concerned with the message. His job is to convey it point to point. But the job of the Rasul was a lot more than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah said, you are not just a messenger. Your job is to first tell them what it is, then prepare them to receive it, purify them, and then teach it to them. Now think about this. What was the need, or what could have been the need, to teach people for whom the language of the Quran was their language? The language of the Quran was their language. So today we feel nothing hesitant, we should be feeling hugely hesitant to translate the Quran or to you know, explain the Quran or teach the Quran using translations, because we don't know the language, right? We have reached a stage of such tremendous ignorance that it doesn't even bother us. But here were people who were the masters of the language, to the extent that the Arabs were very arrogant about their knowledge of Arabic, and they called anyone who did not know Arabic as Ummi. So the and to these people Allah saying, teach them the book. Which book? Teach them the ayat. Which ayat? Which have already been recited to them. Teach them the ayat. Now, this is the Quran. This is the Quran telling us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So when you say that the Quran is enough for you, I say to you, yes, I agree with you, but listen to yourself. Listen to your own words, because your words will become witness in your favor or against you. And whether they are in your favor or against you depends on you, depends on what you do with those words. If you are going to use those words and then you do the opposite, you say the Quran is enough for us and therefore we don't need the Rasul, then it means that you are going against the Quran. You are actually contradicting what the Quran is saying. Because the Quran is saying that the Quran is enough for you and therefore follow the Nabi alayhi salam. Now I'm not going into the details of the many, many ayats. Not one, many of them, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned and ordered and commanded that his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be followed and obeyed without question, not because we believe blindly, but because we do not need to question that which we have complete and total faith in, and our faith is based on reason, on evidence, on proof. That faith is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Mr. Sallam, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakihim wa yu'allimuhumul kitab. Teach them the book. Now let me give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. Establish the salah. Right? Allah did not say, read the prayer, do the prayer, say the prayer. He said, establish the prayer.
What is the meaning of establish? It means pray at the right time, establish houses of prayer, places of prayer, support all activities leading to that, and so on and so on. Now, what is so difficult about understanding this ayah? Establish prayer. Aqimus Salah. So what was there to teach? But obviously there was something to teach, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallam. He's saying, teach them. So let's take this. This is a beautiful way of illustrating this, which is, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He would have said, Allah has said, Aqimus Salah. Allah said, establish the prayer. And then, Allah is saying, here are a bunch of mallard chicks. I think these people have been fed. The mother is there at the back, and these have come up here expecting me to feed them. Except that I didn't know they were here. Or I would have brought something for them, but I don't have anything. So maybe next time I come, I'm going to bring something for them. So, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. So here you said, أَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer. And you said, okay, I'm ready, alhamdulillah. What must I do? So obviously, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish the prayer, there has to be a method for the prayer, right? I mean, what is prayer? You might say, what is prayer? What does it consist of? Do I sing a song? Do I beat a drum? What do I do? There is something you do. Where do I get that? Because, as we all know very well, I don't say, you don't. This is not news to anybody who knows the Quran even cursorily, that there is no detailed description of salah, of prayer in the Quran. None at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said, establish the prayer. He did not say, the prayer means that you start with takbir tahrima, raise your hands to your ears, and then bring your hands down and fold them or put them by your sides, and then do this and this and ruku and sujood and one ruku and two sajdas, and then you must do cycles of two rakat each, and then you finish with your salam. None of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, aqimus salah. So how do you learn? And this is where the issue of teaching comes, where how was taught to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran tells us what to do. The Rasul tells us how to do it. And if somebody is telling me that all I need to know is what to do, I do not need to know how to do it, then I would say that would be a very, very ignorant statement. To put it politely, it would be a completely ignorant statement. And if you are saying that, if you are a Muslim and you're saying that, believing that to be true, then I would say that this is kufr. This is denial, this is apostasy, this is leaving of the religion. So Rasulullah was taught how to pray, and he taught us how to pray. There's a beautiful hadith of these young men who came and spent 2 or 3 weeks with Rasulullah, and they learned how to pray. So we say, how do you pray? So as I said, these young boys came and they spent 2 to 3 weeks with Rasulullah. Imagine, this is the power of the sohbah of the Rasul alayhi salam, right? This power of the sohbah. Today we go, and may Allah grant us the opportunity to spend time in the sohbah, in the company of scholars, people who are worthy of learning from and emulating. But who can come close to the position of the Rasul alayhi salam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had these youngsters. They came, they were his guests. They stayed in the Masjid Nabawi Sharif. They were the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, the writer of the hadith, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was very, very sensitive to the people around him. So he said he realized that we were missing our homes. So they loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam very much. But you know, these are young kids, so they're missing their homes, their parents and so on. So he's this writer of the hadith, he says, a recorder, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked us, he said, are you missing your homes? do you want to go back? And he said, that puts us in a spot because, you know, how do you say to the Rasul, yes, I want to go back? Meaning, we don't want to say, and we, it's not true that we don't want his company, and we don't, we are not in a position or a place where we don't want to be sort of comparing between the position of the Rasul alayhi salam and anybody else. But, you know, this is the nature of the person. So they said, we remained silent. We didn't say yes, we didn't say no. This is the adab again. This is the adab again. Now think about that. They can say yes. I mean, he's asking them a question. They can say yes, Ya Rasulullah, we're missing our parents. They don't have to, it doesn't mean we don't like you or anything. None of that. They just remained silent. And Rasulullah said, okay, so you can go home. I will give you permission. And then he said, remember to pray. And remember how I taught you to pray. And he said, the oldest among you lead the prayer, meaning the oldest as in age. Oldest also means, of course, as in knowledge. And he said, one of you call the adhan. And then he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. He did not say pray as the Quran is telling you to pray. Pray as you read it. Pray as you understand it. Pray whatever is in your heart. No. He says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. Now, this is the most beautiful illustration of Yatru alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab. So, the hukum, akhimus salah, yuzakkihim, the tazkiyah, which these students and of course all the sahaba underwent, which is purification of the body and purification of the heart. And then, how is this to be done? So as I said, the what, the command, the hukum is in the Quran. The method is in the sunnah. The Quran and the sunnah are complementary to each other. They support each other. And without the sunnah, the Quran becomes impossible to actually implement in our lives. And it is with this understanding that Imam Al-Auza'i rahmatullahi, he said the book needs the sunnah more than the sunnah needs the book. Now quite obviously he's not being disrespectful in the Quran. He is, from his understanding, he is talking about this aspect that the book came to be implemented, the book came to be practiced, the book came so that we learn what to do. But the book is a book of orders. It's a book of commands. And unless these orders are interpreted, unless these orders are explained, unless this whole thing is demonstrated and shown, we will go wrong. We can't just implement or obey the orders any way we like. So therefore, the field book is essential for the main book. And therefore, the main book needs the field book more than the field book needs the main book. Obviously, both are interdependent, both are necessary. And in terms of actual status, the Quran is the actual word of Allah, and the Sunnah is the explanation of that word. So the status of the word of Allah remains intact, but we have to understand this in context. Inshallah, that's 3 out of 4. We'll go to the 4th in the next one. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.